Well, here we are at the end of another year. And what can we say about the year that has gone? As we sit here, we tend to think of that which we most easily remember. And that, of course, is the last month. And we think of the doom, gloom and despondency of the country because we've lost the Ashes, because that's what's been gone on about so much in the last month. But if we think back, then there is a lot more that has happened over the last year. I wonder if anybody has any particular memories that they would like to be reminded of or to remind us of. Anything in particular that you think has happened and needs to be remembered?
Nationally.
I don't mean anything. Anything that you remember that you think we should reflect upon?
I thought the international forum was brilliant.
Ah, you're talking about OM.
Me? I thought it was brilliant.
No, you're talking about an OM event. And that took place in Germany?
Yeah.
And there was a gathering of how many OMers?
I can't remember, but it was the biggest one I've ever had, so it was in thousands.
And so an impressive number for, what, a week?
Yeah.
And people from all over the world gathering together to consider what has been done and what needs to be done.
Yes.
And how to do it.
And what's already underway that's going to evolve all more.
Good. Well, I remember this year attending several conferences. Probably the standout one was the one I attended near Norwich last April, which was an encouraging time. Not a huge number of us, I think there were about 30. And we had a good time, and we learned about various aspects of the death of Christ. This was also the year when I thought, oh wonderful, at the last EFCC committee meeting it was agreed that instead of having 3 committee meetings a year, we'd only have 2 committee meetings a year. And I thought, excellent, this means that I only have to go away for these twice a year instead of 3 times a year. And they said, what we'll do instead, we'll have a small standing committee to consider important items in between. And they asked me to stand on that, or sit on it. Do you sit on a standing committee? Or do you stand on a sitting committee? And at the same meeting they said, and we'd also like you to be on Peter Moss's support group that meets twice a year. So having gone to the meeting, having to attend 3 meetings a year, and thought briefly that it was going to be 2 meetings a year, I end up going to 6 meetings a year. And there's one coming up in a couple of weeks' time, which is the first one, and that's going to be a difficult one. And there's all the things we've done during the year. I think of all the books that I've worked on during the last year. But more importantly, we should be thinking about what has happened with regard to spiritual matters and what has happened in our souls. How much more do we understand about what the Bible says? How much more do we love the Lord Jesus Christ for what he's done? How much more are we yearning for eternal glory? How much more are we moaning about our current state in sin? And how much more are we grieving because we do continue to sin, even though we wish we didn't? These are things we can look back on and reflect upon and evaluate and think to ourselves, well, exactly how have I done in this year that has gone? It's a good thing to remember. We're told in the scriptures that we need to remember. When the Israelites crossed the Jordan, God told them to erect a monument not a monument in the sense we think of, this was just a pile of stones. But this pile of stones was erected, and the purpose was, though, that future generations might say to their parents, to their leaders, "What do these stones mean?" And they will respond, "Well, this reminds us of what God did when the people of Israel entered into the promised land. And God stopped the waters of the River Jordan so that they could cross over dry shod. They didn't get their feet wet. The moment the Ark of the Covenant, or rather the bearers of the Ark of the Covenant, entered into the Jordan, then the water stopped, and then the whole nation trooped through and were able to enter the promised land without getting wet. Would you like to close the door? Thinking it might be a bit drafty. We must do something about that so that it doesn't keep opening in the wind. And then there is a scripture that talks about looking back to the rock from which you were hewn and the pit from which you were dug. And it is good to look back. It is good to reflect. It's not a question of dwelling on things in the past, but looking back and seeing what progress we have made. There is that scripture in Galatians chapter 6, where this is exactly what Paul says to the Galatians when he's urging them on to greater godliness and to greater holiness. And he suggests to them that it's a good idea to look back to these things. Verse 4, let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbour, for each will have to bear his own load. Test your own work. That means you have to look back and see how you've done. So how have you done? How have you done in the last year? How have you done over the period since you first believed in the Lord Jesus Christ? Is there progress? Have you developed greater godliness? Or have there been areas where you have slipped back into greater sin? I look back over my life as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, and I can see how there was rapid growth at the beginning, but then the rate of growth slowed. It continued, and it's had its ups and downs. Sometimes the ups have been more significant than the downs, but there have been times when I have struggled. There are times when I wish that I had been in different situations. There are times when I wish that I'd worked harder at the things that I know I should have done. But I can see that although there are peaks and troughs, yet it is a general upward trend. But the trend is not as upward as I would wish it to be. There are things that I still need to work on. Life as a believer is still hard. We need always to look back and reflect. How have I done? Where have I gone wrong? What could I have done better? And it's a constant process of looking back and evaluating. We look back fairly regularly when it comes to the Lord's Supper. This is what the Jews did with the Passover once a year. And this is what believers do as often as they remember the Lord's death, in looking back and remembering what he has done for us. And so we are always encouraged to look back, to go back and to remember what has been done for us, because it is the death of the Lord Jesus Christ which provides the basis for our whole standing before God. The reason we stand as we do before God, if indeed we do, is not because we have worked hard since we believed, but because the Lord Jesus Christ has died for our sins, and we know our sins forgiven because of him. We look back and think, well, have I believed? And being convinced that we have indeed believed, that we have received peace in our hearts, that we know the forgiveness of our sins, then we press on and look to the future. As we look back over the last year, we can consider what we have looked at together on Sunday mornings. We finished working our way through the Gospel of Luke, and hopefully as a consequence of that, we now have a better knowledge of the Gospel of Luke. Although, of course, we were not exhaustive, and so it's not an exhaustive understanding. But I hope it has stimulated us to look at Luke more carefully and more often. When we came to the end of Luke, we were reading about the disciples on the road to Emmaus and how they were talking to Jesus, not realizing who he was, and they were filled with gloom, and they were saying about how they hoped that Jesus was the Messiah, but then he died. And then he spoke to them and said, "O foolish ones, you would not understand that this was the way in which the Messiah would enter into his glory." And then Luke says, and then he went through all the scriptures, showing them how the Christ must suffer and die. In all the scriptures, it says. And so we had a short series in which we looked in all the scriptures. Well, not quite all the scriptures. We were dipping in here and there, but seeing how almost everywhere you look in the scriptures, there is some reference to the Lord Jesus Christ. Even in something that we would consider to be totally obscure, like the book of Esther, where God is not even mentioned. Yet nonetheless, we can see the Lord Jesus Christ at work. The Lord Jesus Christ was dealing with Esther, with Mordecai, and with the Jews through providence, because he is the ruler of the world. He has made the world, and he rules the world, and he upholds the world by his word of power. And so therefore, through all the minutiae of life, all the little things that happen, Jesus Christ is in control. And he brings about the purposes that he has determined before the world even began. And so, even when things go wrong, we can be confident that he knows what is happening. We can be confident that he is in control of whatever it is that is happening. And we can be confident that he will bring us through it to eternal glory. As we've gone through looking at the scriptures, to learn more about the Lord Jesus Christ from the Old Testament, I hope we've seen that there is a great interrelationship within the scriptures, that they are not just totally isolated books that happen to have been gathered together, but they have overall the same author, the Holy Spirit of God, and that it is because there is this single author written through a number of human authors, written through the human author's own personalities, yet nonetheless one divine author binding them all together. As we've looked through, and I hope we've seen this more clearly, and that we have begun to realize that the Bible is not just a hodgepodge of different passages. The Bible is not a jigsaw puzzle. There are books you can buy about the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And these treat the Bible as if it's a jigsaw puzzle. That in order to understand anything about the second coming, you have to grab a verse from here and a verse from there, and you stitch together all these different verses, much like a jigsaw puzzle, and there before you is a beautiful pattern that explains exactly what's going to happen when Jesus comes. The problem with this approach is just the same as the problem with jigsaw puzzles, that you get towards the end and you start to discover that some of the pieces don't fit in any of the remaining holes. And if you've spent a long time working on this jigsaw puzzle, you decide for yourself, well, I'm not going to take it all apart and start again. And so you start forcing pieces to fit where they really don't fit at all. If it's made of wood, then you can end up breaking the pieces of wood. If it's made of cardboard, you end up tearing pieces of the cardboard in order to get them fit where they don't fit. And this, unfortunately, is what people end up doing who treat the Bible as a jigsaw puzzle. They force things to go together that really don't go together. And they come up with all sorts of weird and wonderful theories that really don't have a basis in the scriptures. They have a basis in the imagination of the minds of men. We are not to treat the Bible like that. We are to read passages, whole passages, carefully. Yes, we can go to a verse and we can say, well, this verse teaches this, but you have to double check. You have to read the verse in the context and be sure that what you're saying that verse says is indeed what that verse says. We must not treat the Bible as a jigsaw puzzle. We always need to examine scriptures within their own context. And so in looking back over the last year, reflecting on what we have done, what we have achieved or not achieved, looking back and seeing how God has dealt with us, do we consider that we are in a better state than we were? Are we looking back and giving thanks to God for what he has done? Are we rejoicing in God's goodness towards us? Or are we still struggling on? Are we still longing for that day when we will be removed from this world and enter into a new and renewed world where there will be no more sin, where all is glorious? Let's just briefly consider Peter's advice to the believers that he was writing to. This is 2 Peter chapter 1, reading from verse 3. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so short-sighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to make your calling and election sure. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fail. For in this way, there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Peter is there being positive. He's telling us to look back and to press on, that we may be godly, but we need to be more godly. Let us look to the Lord Jesus Christ and seek to know him better, not merely to know about him, but to know him. And the more we know him in our own experience, the more godly we will become, and the more we see him, the more we will be like him, until that great day when we will see him as he is and we will be like him. There should be our hope for the future, and there should be our motivation for pressing on in the midst of a wicked world, as long as we are in this wicked world, until we go to eternal glory and to spend it knowing in all his fullness, the Lord Jesus Christ.